thank you for this supply. Father, I thank you that these loaves and these fish are more than enough with your power to feed all these people. Thank you for your provision. Thank you. And then by faith, he began to break off pieces of that bread and pieces of that fish and hand it to the disciples. Now, was he looking at that bread, expecting it to not be enough? No. If he even looked at it at all, he was looking at it, expecting it to be more than enough. And he was breaking it off and giving it to the disciples little by little, and the disciples were taking it to people and they were coming back. I don't know how it was happening. Maybe Jesus was breaking off a piece, and when he was handing it to the disciples, that piece was being put right back by the power of God. I don't know how it happened. I just know it did. And just like I'm thinking about the widow in the Old Testament, the prophet of God was sent to her. He said, bake me a cake. And she said, I can't. All I got is this little bitty bit of flour, meal, whatever, and a little bit of oil, and me. I'm going to bake a little cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. I'm like, wow, what a woman of faith. No wonder God sent the prophet to her. She's such great faith. He says, he didn't even argue with her. He goes, okay, but first bake me a cake. And you know what she did? She did it. And as she did, and she operated with that principle of God, giving God what she has, the flour, the meal in her vessel, it never ran out. The prophet of God decreed to her, it will not run out. And it didn't. And they were sustained, and they were fed through the whole entire famine by what wasn't even enough to bake a small cake. See, this concept, what Jesus was doing, it's not new. It's God. God's been doing this kind of stuff from the very beginning. Jesus came to teach us that it was God's will, and he imparted that power to operate in the kingdom of God. Remember, he told disciples, preach the kingdom of God and demonstrate it by healing the sick and casting out devils. That's what he told them. And they did it. Now he's trying to teach them how to operate in the kingdom of God in a different way besides just healing and casting out devils. It's all the kingdom. It's all the same thing. Your provision is the same as your salvation. Your provision is the same as your forgiveness and your healing and your protection and whatever else you need. It's all in the kingdom. Amen. Well, I need to know how to get it. Well, me too. So that's why we're learning. So he gave thanks for the food, and then in the presence of the disciples, he broke off pieces, and he kept giving more to each disciple, and they gave it to the crowd. And it was multiplying before their eyes. That's italicized in the Passion Translation. It's for clarity. So everyone ate until they were all filled. And afterwards, Monica, you help me out with this. The disciples gathered up the leftovers. How much was left over, Monica?
12 baskets.
How do you know that?
Because that's what it says.
Because God took the time to inspire Luke to remember to write that in the Word of God, that we would know exactly how much was left over. How much was left over?
12 baskets full.
How many disciples could have fed the crowd but didn't? 12?
5 and 2.
Not disciples. There were 12 disciples. How many left over? 12 baskets. What do you suppose happened to them 12 baskets? I believe that each one of those disciples got one of those baskets and had to look at that and go, you know, there's more left now than there was before he started. And each one of us have more left now than there was before he started. Wow. We could have done that. Just like we cast out the devils when he sent us to do it, and we healed the sick when he sent us to do it, and we declared the kingdom of God to the people. Wow. It's an illustrated teaching. Yes, it met the physical need of the people, but the truth is the people could have went and bought their own bread, but Jesus wanted to take the opportunity to teach the disciples how to operate in the kingdom. And by teaching them, he's teaching us today This is how we operate in the kingdom. We don't operate in the kingdom by going to God and begging him for something as if he doesn't want us to have it. We operate in the kingdom by finding out what God's covenant involves and being thankful for it before we see it with our eyes. He said, you have food to feed the people. I'm going to tell you what the food they had was. The food was their faith. They'd been operating in it, and they could have used it to multiply the loaves and fishes. If you look at that faith, well, I don't know where else to go with faith besides Hebrews 11:1. And the King James Version of Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Substance. It's the evidence of things we don't see. The Amplified Classic says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for. Are you hoping for a car? Yeah, I'm hoping for a car. Well, if somebody comes and they bring you the title deed to their car and they sign it over to you, even before you see the car, you got the title deed, you own a car. You don't own a little piece of paper with a notary stamp on it. You own a car because the title deed is the direct representation of the car. Our faith is the title deed of the thing that I can't yet touch, taste, feel, smell, see, experience, but I still own it because my faith owns it for me. Now, I own it. I want it. I need it. Okay, well, let's get it. How am I going to do it? I imagine I'm going to do it like Jesus did. I'm going to look to the Father, and I'm going to start thanking him. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm not going to beg him about it. I'm going to thank him. And if I'm going to go to prayer with a request, I believe that praying requests is scriptural. I believe making your needs known to God is scriptural, even though he already knows them. Remember Jesus teaching about prayer? He goes, your Father already knows what you have need of. You don't need to use a whole bunch of words babbling on like some pagan. He goes, because your Father already knows what you have need of before you ask. He didn't say, so don't ask. You still want to ask, but you're asking from the provision. You're asking like when I have money in the bank and I go to the bank to make a withdrawal, I'm not asking them to give me their money. I'm asking them to give me my money. I still go in and make a demand, but what I'm demanding I already own. Do you get that? I hope you get that. And in the realm of the spirit, that's how it is. We already own it because Jesus paid for it and put our name on it. He gave it to us, but we have to put a demand on it, bring it. And that demand is our faith, and our faith is released through words, and not words of griping or complaining or begging, but words of thanksgiving and words of repeating the promise of God. Because my faith is the title deed of the things I'm hoping for. Now, listen to the rest of this. Amplified Classic, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not yet see. Listen to this. The conviction of their reality. And then in parentheses at the end of that verse, Amplified Classic, Hebrews 11:1. Faith perceives as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. So you receive it before you receive it. Mark 11:23-24, Jesus said, if you stand praying, whatsoever you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth when you pray, you have received it and you shall have it. The receiving comes before the having. Go read that. We don't have time, but you go read that. Receiving comes before having. Well, I thought receiving was having. You thought wrong. Receiving is believing. Let me say it this way to you. If you read the Word of God, it'll become like a seed planted in you. A seed. So you'll conceive or you'll get pregnant with what God wants you to have in your spirit. If you can conceive it and believe it, you'll receive it. You can't just concoct something that God doesn't authorize because that won't work, because faith comes by hearing from God. If you don't hear from God, you don't get faith. You may have belief, you may have want, but it's not faith. So listen to the Passion Translation of Hebrews 11:1. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire faith. the things we hope for. Acquire them. That means touch them. Get them from the realm of the spirit, the kingdom realm, to here. Quickly, we only got a couple, 3, 4, 5 minutes here. But quickly go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. I hope you're being blessed by this morning. You may have to go back and listen a little more. I may have to go back and listen some more. We got to chew on this. I bet the first time you ever heard Jesus died for your sins, you had a hard time receiving it. I'm not saying it's the first time you ever heard this. Are you walking in it? I'm working on it. Well, I'm walking it in this area. Okay, cool. Take the same thing that allows you to walk in that area and apply it to the other area, because it's always the same thing. The kingdom always operates the same way. So, Peter, 2 Peter, I turn to 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let's just pick it up in verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Did you get that? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. What do you need? I need forgiveness. I've been wretched. Okay, he provided that. I need healing. He provided that. I need wisdom. He provided that. I need protection. He provided that. I need finances. He provided provision. You see, why didn't you say finances? Because sometimes you think you need money to buy bread, when actually you just need bread. Quit telling God how to do things. I don't need money to buy a car. I just need transportation. You got to think different. And the less I try to tell God how to do things and the more I listen to God of how to do things, the better off I'm going to be. That was for me. 2 Peter 1:3, Passion Translation. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Where is it deposited? In you. I got a bunch. I got cars and houses and this and that. I got healing. I got all kinds of. He's not talking about in your physical body. In your spirit. Because your spirit's inseparably linked to the spirit of Jesus if you're born again. And you're in the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You can't see it. He said the kingdom of God is within you. Remember him telling the disciples, the Pharisees, that blew their mind. They couldn't get it. Jesus said everything. And here Peter understood, this is late in Peter's life. As an old man, Peter understood this. He goes, everything I've ever needed, ever wanted, ever desired, and ever could use, if it was God's will for me to have it, he's already deposited in me. And then I said, well, how do I get it out? We're going to be done here in just a minute. All this was lavished on us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through the glorious manifestation of his goodness. Verse 4, as a result of this, he has given you, as a result of the fact that he deposited everything in you and he's called you to himself by grace, as a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises, precious promises, some translations say. He's given us very great and precious promises so that through them, the NIV says, you may participate in the divine nature. What's that mean? Participate in the divine nature. Who multiplies loaves and fishes? God. Who heals the sick? God. Who raises the dead? God. Who forgives sins? God. How do I participate in all that stuff? By participating in his divine nature. Well, how do I do that? Through the promises. What's promises? Exactly. You got to know them. You need to get into the Bible for yourself, find out what belongs to you, get a deposit slip. This is your deposit slip. You find out what belongs to you. I could tell you what belongs to you, but you won't believe me. You got to get it for yourself. And when you find out what's been deposited, and you know that with your faith you can make a withdrawal by being thankful and believing it before you see it, we can start appropriating things out of the realm of the spirit into the realm of the physical. Amen. Amen. I hope that blessed you. You know, apply it. And like Monica was saying, get in church. Find you a good Bible-believing church, wherever it is, wherever God leads you. And plug in. And then read your Bible on them days you're not in church. Read your Bible when the days you are in church. Read it for yourself. Consistently, constantly. Like, you eat several times a day, I'm sure. Well, eat for your spirit multiple times a day. And God will begin to open our understanding to walk more and more in what he has. Amen.
Amen. Mm. I want to encourage you to take the lid off you a little bit. I only had a little bit. I had a little bit of knowledge. I believed that there was a God. I had a little bit of belief, a little bit of knowledge, and a little bit of faith. But when I turned back to God and I took the lid off my little bit, oh God, is the multiplier. I encourage you, please, please get into a church. Ask God to give you a church home and take the lid off your little bit and trust. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Ms. Neva Pyatt, and from Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow. I'm going to go cry now, because God is so good.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.